in the Hebrew Scriptures. And the last mention is in the book of Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 5. Now, it does not appear in any of the New Testament manuscripts, but it is noteworthy that the King James Version has the word Lord in capital, which is a substitute for the YHWH. It actually has that four times mentioned in the New Testament when it's referring to a quotation from the Hebrew Scriptures. But manuscripts that we have today, the oldest one available, do not show that name at all in any of the New Testament. But now, what does it mean? Now, today, a name is just a label that you slap on someone once they're born. There's really usually no significance. But that's not, wasn't the case always. In the early days, names meant something. If somebody was born under a certain circumstance, well, then a name would be attributed to that circumstance and would be the name of that person. Names had meanings attached to it. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Exodus 3:14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Now, some translations have a slight variation of the I am. I think some say, I will prove to be what I will prove to be. I will be what I will be. But essentially, that's what God has said. But then noteworthy in verse 15, it says, "And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Wahai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generation." So that's how God identified himself. I am that I am, and then he said, Yahweh, or YHWH. What does it mean? Well, when we look at the Hebrew, we find that it actually means something along the lines of to be, to become, to cause, the self-existent one, the great cause. Now, these are very fitting names to God, since God has always existed and always exists. So, I am could mean I've always been. And God is also the cause of all things, of which today we see the effects in the whole universe, visible and invisible. But now, there's a problem though with this word. It's translated in three different ways. It is translated as Lord in capital letter, or God, if the word, the four letters appear after the title Lord, then it's translated as God, G-O-D, in capital letter. It is also translated as Jehovah. And it is also translated as Yahweh. Why is there so much discord? Why can't they just pick one and just stick with that one? Well, it's because it is said that God's name is meant to be hidden. Well, actually, it's not, but it is suppressed by the scholars of Christendom. Notice what the Vatican, the Catholic News, says in Vatican, August 13, 2008, in an article. It says, "The Vatican has ruled that the name of God should not be pronounced in a Catholic liturgy." All right, well, let's look now at these three translations, and let's see what problems are associated. Now, as I go through these three ones, these are just comments that are made by others. It's no way suggesting we should read it one way or another. This is merely showing you the problems associated with each one of them. And then it's up to you to decide how you want to pronounce God's name. So let's look at Lord. Now, a superstition arose among the Jews that the name should not be pronounced so as not to blaspheme God because of mispronouncing it. This superstition has also been adopted by the churches of Christendom. When did a superstition start? Well, apparently not long after the Israelites returned from exile. The common belief is that in the 2nd century BC, when the Hebrew scriptures were translated in Greek, the tetragrammaton was replaced with words Lord or God in Hebrew and in Greek. This cannot be substantiated because the oldest manuscript of the Septuagint is dated from the 5th century AD. And there are fragments of the Septuagint dated 1 BC that shows that the name was still in use, but was transliterated, not translated. So you read the Greek, and then when you come to the name, they just had the Hebrew characters. That's how it was. That's what these fragments show. So it seems that there may have been a combination of both around, you know, from about that time. But now there's problems with that. This is not a proper translation. It's not a name. It's a title. Another problem. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 26, it says, "How long shall this be in the hearts of the prophets that prophesy lies, even the prophets of the deceit of their own hearts, that think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their father forget me for Baal." The contemporary Bible says, "They left me and worshipped Baal." Now, what does Baal mean? Well, Baal was a sun god of the Canaanite. They worshipped him, and they influenced much of the Jewish people during the time of their promise. And it means Lord. So, could it be, and this is an assumption here, could it be that Satan has cunningly managed to replace God's name with his own in the Hebrew scriptures? Well, many think so, and hence they refuse to use that. So that's a problem associated with that. Let's look at the name Jehovah. Now, this is the most common translation of the Tetragrammaton. But is it correct? How did it come about? Now, the Hebrews is usually made up of, the Hebrew manuscript was made up of just consonants. There were no vowels attached to it. And so when somebody would read a sentence or a word in a manuscript, they would rely on tradition, on how the parents understood the word was pronounced, and hence they pronounced it this way. So it was tradition or word of mouth that provided the vowels of the consonants. That's how it was. And the same applied to God's name. Now, in order to assist with the pronouncing of consonants, in the 8th century CE or AD, a group of Jewish people known as the Masoretes compiled a system of pronunciation by incorporating marks around the consonant so one can pronounce them properly. This was the case with all words and names, including the Tetragrammaton. For example, Jeremiah would have been written in the Hebrew by the consonants, as you can see. The J, the equivalent of J, R, M, I guess H. How to pronounce it? Well, they knew that from the way traditionally they've been pronouncing that name, and so intellectual people, those Jewish people, put in those appropriate vowels so that one can then pronounce it properly, as it should be. The same thing happened with Joshua, with Jehoshaphat, with any word of the Bible that did not have, well, that were consonant, that were not pronounceable without vowels. But there was a difference when it came to the Tetragrammaton. See, with the Tetragrammaton, they inserted the marks of the word Adonai Lord, or the word Elohim, God, so that one would pronounce Lord or God instead of God's name. So you see, they were not the vowels of God's name. They were vowels of a totally different thing. So when you come across a verse that says, and the Lord, YHWH, it was saying the Lord God. Or, you know, Lord has said, the Lord has said. That was the intention of putting these vowels in there. Not intended to give you the correct pronunciation. Around the 14th century, some Christian scholars took these as the actual vowels of the pronunciation of the name and came up with the name Yehoah or Jehovah. Because, interesting, I didn't know that, the letter J did not come into existence till later. In fact, if you have a look at a very old King James Bible, it does not have any J's in it. It has I's. And it was meant to be pronounced as a Y. So it was Yehovah. In fact, even the letter W is also a later addition to the alphabet. So it was Yehovah, which now is known as Jehovah, right? So that's what this Christian scholar did. They just took those letters and they thought, well, if we actually pronounce, use them as the actual vowel, we come up with a name that sounds like maybe it's God's name. But it's a maybe. Again, it's a guess. So some problems. It's a coined name. It's made up with different vowels. Another problem. See, in the olden day, as I said before, names were designed to mean something. In the case of Jeremiah actually means Jah or Yah or God exalts. That's what Jeremiah means. In the case of Joshua, which is a shortened version of Jehoshua, it means Jah or God is salvation. Jehoshua is also the name of Jesus. So another one, Jehoshaphat, means Jah, Yah, or God, is judge. So a lot of the name, Elijah is also another name that contains the name of God. A lot of the Bible names, in fact, maybe just about all of them, had something in them that had to do with that tetragrammaton or a shortened version of it. But now, what about if we use the same system or the same logic in the name Jah? It means Jah or God is Hova or Hawa. According to Strong, Hova or Hawa means ruinous, mischievous, naughty. Now, if we use the same logic, use the same method, we come up with Jah or God is mischievous. See the problem? Hence, some, the Jewish people in particularly, refuse to utter the name this way. Okay, let's look at the last possibility. Yahweh, or Yahweh, if you want to Latinize it. Now, Jewish scholar believe that this is the closest pronunciation of the name. It's not two syllables, it's actually three syllables. It's just that the second syllable is very, very quiet. So it's not Yahweh, it's Yahweh. Yahweh. With a very quiet U between a H and a W. So it's Yahweh. Three syllable with a, well, two and a bit. Why is that preferred? Well, we can feel confident that the first part, Yah, is correct. Because it's the first part of many biblical names, as we mentioned. It is also in the expression, Hallelujah, praise Jah, praise Yah. But there's a problem. The second part, where, is assumed or guessed. Now it's interesting too, that if you remember back in Exodus, it said, God said, I am that I am. Now some say that it could, another pronunciation is Yahweh with an A instead of an E. So that you have the Y and the H followed by AH. And they say that that's probably even closer, because it shows that I am, I will prove to be what I will prove to be, or I will be what I will be. So it's like a repetition of two things. And then he said, Yahweh. And again, these are assumptions, right? We're not 100%, well, we can't be 100% correct. But nevertheless, it is an assumed pronunciation, the second part. Okay, so we've discussed now three possibilities, and each one of them have some flaws associated with them, some more than others. So let me ask you a question now. Does it really matter how we pronounce it? Well, I'll give an example. In English, somebody's name may have an R and a Y in it. Okay? I have a brother sitting next to us, behind me, Brother Ray. We have a sister there who's got a husband. His name is Brother Roy. Now, it's still an R and a Y. One has an A, one has an O. Now, if I started to speak to Brother Ray and start calling him Brother Roy, Brother Ray is going to think, who are you talking to? Right? It may not matter much to me because, you know, it's only an R and a Y. What difference does it make? You know, you can pronounce it whatever. But it certainly matters to him. He's going to stand up and say, well, I'm sorry, brother, why do you keep calling me Roy? I'm not, you know, I'm Ruth's father, not husband. So you see, the point I'm making is that sometimes we may think, well, it's not a big deal. Well, it's not a big deal to us, but it's certainly a big deal to the receiver. Okay. So now the question remains, what is God's name? What is the proper pronunciation? If it is so important to pronounce it, why have we lost that pronunciation? Well, God's proper pronunciation of his name was known up to the days of Jesus and the apostles, and they no doubt pronounced it properly when they were on earth. But it got lost after that during the gospel age. Why? Well, because the emphasis during that time has changed. A lot of focus moved to our Lord Jesus as the Son of God and as the Redeemer of mankind. He was, you know, the latest addition to God's plan, and his name had to also be made known throughout the world, the same as God's name. But the Christians were focusing on that primarily. In addition to that, the relationship with God of a Christian has changed from that of a servant to that of a son. And hence pronouncing his name was not a requirement, as he now became Abba. He became Father. He becomes Daddy. You don't call your father by his name. It's an insult to call your father by his name. And I know many do today. But still. But what about Ezekiel 36:23? Where it says, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the nations shall know that I am YHWH. Yahweh, Jehovah, however you want to read it. So here's a prophecy in Ezekiel that shows that time will come when all the nations will know God. They will know his name. They will know how to pronounce his name. Not only that, the nations will know his name, and it will be revealed not only as God's character, as God's fame, as God's reputation and honor, but also it will be revealed in its correct pronunciation. That is something that is yet to happen, because at the moment we're only guessing, and we may be getting very close to it, but it is still nevertheless a guess, and the time will come at the Lord's return when all these things will be finally revealed to all of us, to all of mankind. So let me ask you a question. How will you pronounce God's name? Thank you.